It's a War Room Wednesday, presented by Brothers Barbecue. Looking back on the win against Miami and ahead to Sunday's game with New Orleans. Here's D-Mac, Tyler Palumbas, Mike Evans, and the man who'll be on the call of Sunday's game for Fox, Mark Schlereth.
Brothers Barbecue is open tomorrow until 2 o'clock, so you can pick up your smoked turkey, holiday packs, hot, fresh, and ready to serve. Thank you, Brothers Barbecue. You're our hero. Mike, is this the dreaded vote of confidence you asked? Here you go. This is what John Elway had to say. Sorry, technical issue.
Get in there.
Get in there. This is what John Elway had to say. Let's dissect.
You know, I think that's one of the bright things that Drew has done is he's very resilient and he's continued to bounce back. And, you know, you're going to go through growing pains, especially as a young quarterback. He had the 5 starts last year and then started early for us and then got banged up and missed a couple starts and you know, came back in. So, you know, Bill, I think we're excited about what we've seen. Obviously, the consistency hasn't been there where we wanted it to be, but you know, you look at everything that's gone on for us this year, I think that they've hung in there and done a heck of a job. No
option. And then John went on to make a million excuses. Okay. Listen, it's an interesting question, Mike. All I'll say on this is I've been told by multiple media people, if you ask John Elway a question and he's your source about John Elway, get another source. So I don't know if that really means anything. Tyler?
I didn't read too much into it. I mean, I'm curious what your thoughts were, Mike, because it sounds like you had some thoughts on it, because when I heard it, I just felt like I heard very generic speak out of a GM talking about his quarterback.
What I heard is something that Mark and I have talked about. I think you're going to see very little in the way of change for next year, whether it's the front office, whether it's Vic Fangio, and whether it's even Drew Locke. He went on to talk about all the things that we've all talked about as being excuses or valid reasons and how the Broncos might view this season. And I think when you sum it all up, what I heard a lot from Elway was 2020, what are you going to do? You know? And so I heard more of a vote of confidence towards Drew Locke as opposed to the dreaded vote of confidence. The idea being that, hey, listen, let's get back into 2021. Let's hopefully have a normal off season. Let's have all our mini camps. Let's let them work with Pat Shurmur. Let's develop some continuity and then let's see what this coaching staff and what this quarterback, what this offense looks like.
Sting?
Yeah. You know, I heard more of, hey, let's wait and see what happens in the next 6 weeks and then, you know, get back to me. Yeah. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I think the jury is out right now. I don't know that there's a ton of confidence in what he's done. There have been a lot of, obviously, mechanical issues, a lot of mistakes, a lot of, you know, misreads, a lot of errant throws. Now, he has been resilient. I'll give him that. And he completed a couple of third downs. He had a third down and 10 over the middle to K.J. Hamler. He had a third down and 13 that he ran for a first down. Like, there were some things. And when you start off 0 for 6 with an interception after the game you had the week before, there is plenty of an opportunity to crumble, man. I don't know about you, Tyler, but when things weren't going well for me, man, sometimes it was hard, man. I was like, oh, God, here we go, you know. And I would often make more mistakes if I made one mistake because it would really bother me, really get, you know, I'd almost get into my own head sometimes. So, you know, to start 0-6 and have a pick that's a bad pick in the middle of the football field, like that could be a cause for crumbling, and he didn't crumble, so I'll give him that, the resilient factor. But there's still a lot of work to be done before you can even be an average quarterback, because right now he's a below average quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I mean, I told the story this week, actually. I'll tell it again very quickly. But when I got traded to Seattle, I was not playing good football beforehand. And I got out there to Seattle. Tom Cable was my offensive line coach. And he sits me down after practice one day because I gave up a sack. And one sack turned into a terrible practice. And he sits me down and says, Tyler, listen, man, you have no idea how talented you really are. But you got one bad problem that you got when you have a bad play, things spiral and things fall out of control for you, and you got to find a way to fix that and find a way to flush it. And having that conversation with him truly was a huge part of my turnaround in my career. What Drew Locke went out there and did with that early turnover was made me nervous. I thought things were going to spiral. And I would agree that that was the most encouraging thing that he did the entire game, was showing enough mental fortitude to be able to bounce back from it.
Well, let me ask you guys this, with the six games remaining. Tua got benched. Benched. Because the Dolphins believed they had a better chance to win that game in the last quarter with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, they got close to getting to that point. In the final six games, can you envision a scenario where it would be okay to bench Drew Locke if the rest of the team was playing well enough that you thought you'd have a chance to win?
I don't. I mean, it would have to just be egregious, like what happened against the Raiders. If it's that egregious, sure, you got to get him out of harm's way at that point. But this season's got one goal, and that goal has not changed. It's to find out what you've got in Drew Locke. And you got to let Drew Locke fight through adversity as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I think you have to see him play. Even if it's a horrendous game, you have to see him finish.
We're going down with the ship no matter what, even if it might be a winnable game.
Well, the other thing is, who do you have? I mean, you know,
Brett Rippon.
Well, I was just going to say, you don't think Brett Rippon is the future. Like, you don't have.
No, but maybe he gives you a better chance to win that day.
But he's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, you benched Tua because you knew that Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the sideline and he could come in and do special things. We don't have somebody to bench him for to come in and do special things.
Mike? Yeah, and the Dolphins, remember, they played that game the other day. They were half game behind Buffalo for the AFC East lead. So, you know, they're playing for something. So you can easily sell that to your football team. You can even sell it to Tua that, hey, look, you know, we're in the playoff hunt. We're just trying to win a game right now. Broncos don't have that luxury, really.
Really? You sure?
You think they're knocking on the door of playoff contention?
I don't know.
Mike, I've been having this battle all week long. I just love having you guys on. It's like
you're down 8 points to the Saints. Your defense is freaking awesome. And Drew Locke, maybe he gets a little bit more of a boo-boo. He's not feeling all that great. Like Tua had a little bit of an ankle thing. Not playing that great. No, we're not trying to win. Huh?
You upset the Saints and the Chiefs over the next 2 weeks to 6-6.
Come
and
on.
Then now everything's in play. Now everything's in play when it comes to, hey, we're trying to win a game right now.
What about you don't beat the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs, but you could see a path to beat the Saints and then you got the Panthers. No. With seven teams in it, and we have, who knows what's happening with the Steelers and the Ravens? Who knows if they expand the playoffs to eight teams this year?
You're still sitting there at 5-7 if you split.
We're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, let's stop now. We gotta stop.
We're not going to the playoffs.
Nice job. You almost got me sucked in there. Don't do that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens this Sunday, and we'll revisit it. Somebody wanted to name Vance Joseph the coach of the year, Zach, by some other guy, after they went 6-6 when they rebounded from 3-6. We have long memories, like elephants. Also, Mark and Tyler disagreed a little bit about something that had to do with the Broncos' ground game and a tribute to our favorite guys in the morning, quarterback style. That's next, right here on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Looking back on the win against Miami and ahead to Sunday's game with New Orleans, here's D-Mac, Tyler Palumbas, Mike Evans, and the man who'll be on the call of Sunday's game for Fox, Mark Schlereth.
Be without each other on this Thanksgiving holiday, and I want to pay tribute to you guys and Brandon Allen. As Brandon Allen will be the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday. Congratulations, Brandon Allen. Congratulations to you, Mike and Mark, for, I think, making that dream happen simply by relentlessly playing this song.
Yes. Yes. Talentown. The Gamer. the gamer, Allentown.
I'm looking forward to him unleashing the 8 inches per play offense.
I'm sorry, what?
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Easy.
Hey, we're still on the air here, aren't we?
No. Wasn't there a wasn't there a game against Buffalo where in the second half the offense actually averaged 8 inches per play?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't know if unleashing 8 inches of yardage or the Kraken is more, you know, double entendre dirty, but thank you, Mike, for throwing in your 2 cents.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that, but if you choose to go there, then that's
well, you keep doing it. By the way, if you missed it, this was Mark Schlereth's apology to Garrett Bowles earlier.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Okay, and I have great news if you're enjoying the War Room, or even if you're not, oh well. Mike and Mark have both agreed to stick on for an extra segment after 6 o'clock. So thank you guys for doing that. I think we can have a lot of fun and go into more details about the Broncos in the future. So thank you, first of all, for doing that. And you are doing it from home, so it's really not much of a sacrifice. I mean, seriously, what else is really happening?
I got a list of stuff I have to go to the grocery store here, so let's keep talking so we can get more people out of the grocery store.
Wait a second. You were off the air at 9 o'clock. It is 10 minutes
Stop it. Stop it right there, okay? Everybody knows that when your wives are putting together their things, there's always something that slips through the cracks. There's always something else you need to go back. I know I'm going to be going out tonight and tomorrow, too, so I'm prepared for it.
Okay.
Right.
Well, let me talk, and Mike, we might have to take a backseat here for the big fellas.
Yeah.
But Tyler said he's seen the Broncos do what they did with their offensive line and pulling and all that sort of 1960s football. But I was listening to you guys, and Mark, you said that was new to you. In fact, you said you're curious to find out what they even call it.
This is an impressive performance out of you, pulling the mic. It's like we almost didn't have a conversation yesterday.
So I would
It's like you almost didn't ask me to debunk what you're trying to say as
like,
a wedge yesterday.
I would like you guys to explain power running and what you guys were seeing and what you weren't seeing.
What in the name of Fuzzy Thurston are you doing here, Tyler?
Yes.
I honestly have no idea what D-Mac's doing, what we saw, what D-Mac thinks was a disagreement, it was that I said that I've seen plenty of guard pulling in the past. We featured Dalton Risner out there on the polls, plenty. When Mike Munchak came into town, he was known as being a power guy. He had some wide zone running in his background, but there was some conflict of interest in how to run the ball with him and Rich Scangarello last year. So this year, when Mike Munchak got to kind of choose how he wanted to run the ball, they went towards a power running scheme, which innately leads towards guards pulling on backside power type of stuff. Now, what the wrinkle was in that game was we saw not just powers, not just G leads, we saw counters. We saw old school, like student body left type of counters, right? And that's something that you don't see very often. Mark, I don't know about during your day, but we did have one team that would run that when I was playing, and it was the Cincinnati Bengals. They would run true counter with both guard, both tackle on the backside, pulling for the front side, and I would always watch it like, gosh, what are these idiots doing? But they had success with it. Did anybody do that stuff during your era?
Well, I mean, so for me, the reason I said that I hadn't seen what they did in that particular game is because, like, power, you're 100% right. They run plenty of power with one guard pulling. They can run lead power with a fullback or a tight end on the front side and pull the backside guard. That's something that they have done plenty of this year. What I hadn't seen them do is basically G lead on the front side. So the front side guard pulling, and they had one play where the front side guard pulled and kicked out, and both the center and left tackle that were bubbled, uncovered, both pulled to the front side. So what I'm saying is, man, in 12 years of playing and 20 years of covering it, I hadn't seen it until I went back and looked at 60s Green Bay Packer film. Mm-hmm. And so for me,
did you really go watch that?
Yeah,
that's impressive to me.
Well, I clipped the plays and I sent it to my producer and my AD because I said, this is unique And it's something unique that you don't see. Now, I grew up in Washington system, so we ran counter all the time. I mean, we were, that was what we did. We 66, 77 counter. That was our stay. I mean, we'd run it 15 times a game. Like, I literally shrunk an inch in my 6 years in Washington from running so much counter.
Right.
So we did that, but we didn't run count like G lead and short yardage, G lead and goal line, but not G lead with counter, you know? I mean, not that type of pull play. So that's why I said I hadn't seen anybody run that, and that style. So I thought it was pretty unique. So I put it out to my producer, my AD. My producer came back with Green Bay Packer film.
Are you going to use that on the broadcast?
Yeah. We got it cleared. So we're just trying to get the sound cleared with it with Lombardi going, you know, we got an alley here, you know, an alley here, you know, or whatever he said. What did he say, Mike?
I was like, we got to pull the guard and head up here in the alley.
Yeah.
And this is our fundamental play.
No, we got a seal here and a seal here and we run it down the alley, you know. So,
it was kind of Vince Lombardi meets James Cagney.
Yeah, it was.
Mark, let me ask you this, because, Vic Fangio said that the Miami Dolphins were doing something that, you know, was run in the 60s, and that's why they kind of came out. I didn't really know what he was talking about. What was he referring to that the Dolphins did back in the 60s that opened this up?
Now, that I don't know. All I know is that the Dolphins do a lot of what we used to call amoeba defense, where nobody had their hand down. They're all just milling around.
We called the radar.
Okay, yeah. So it was one of those things where you're like, you know, you kind of got to sift through. And one of the things about that kind of pin and pull tactic that they used, you know, and what we mean by pin and pull is, you know, the front side of that all blocks down. And so they're almost, normally you block down on a guy, but they're pulling, blocking down on an area. Whoever comes in there, take them, right? And then they're pulling and getting extra people on the front side. And maybe it was just that they're having a hard time with the front side, you know, wide zone, tight zone stuff of picking those guys up. I don't know, but that certainly was a unique system that they ran, and they certainly had a ton of success with it.
All right. I am very grateful you guys are going to stick around for a little bonus war room. There's some big decisions that have to be made, and I don't think it's too soon to think about it. And I am curious about something else you guys got cooking in the morning. Details of that coming up next.